Name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. Today is February 1st, year 2009. It's the fourth Sunday after Epiphany, and it's also a feast day of St. Ignatius of Antioch. This is a special filming we're doing because it involves the Heretical Society, St. Pius X, and something that we all knew, at least all of us who are aware of their hypocrisies, that they were nothing more than a false opposition party set up by the devil in order to keep these people who were worthy of being deceived in the Vatican II Church. Indeed, they were always part of it. They never denied it. They always prayed in communion with these notorious heretics, apostate antipopes, in spite of the fact that they knew about all their notorious heresies, and they knew about the teachings that a notorious heretic cannot be pope, nor could they be bishop. One of the reasons that they were deceived, too, and all these people in the society is because of their main crime. That wasn't even their main crime. The main crime in the Society of St. Pius X is that their founder, Archbishop Marcel Lefebvre, was a salvation heretic. He denied the salvation dogma just like many people before him. And he imposed it upon all his bishops and all his priests, and they were imposed it upon the laymen and all the people that attend the SSP 10 churches. So therefore, what we're saying, right from the very beginning, the founding of his order, it was a non-Catholic order, and all his churches were non-Catholic churches because he publicly promulgated and taught that heresy to his flock. And all the people that stayed and go to those churches, every one of them, is outside the Catholic Church from day one, from the very founding of the SSP 10. So that's their number one crime we're concentrating on. Crimes against the faith, heresies held by their founder, and we're just going to read a couple of those heresies for you people to understand how bad this bastard Lefebvre was. And there's also strong evidence that he was a Freemason. And that really comes home strongly now when we see what's happening. Their excommunication was just lifted, and they're now back into full communion with the Vatican II Church. The trap net has been pulled in now. You see, we compare the SSP 10 to people that are like in a net, trapped by the Vatican II Church. The Vatican II Church is a boat, and they're being dragged in that net along with the Vatican II Church guiding them. And now the net has been pulled up and they're into the ship. As of January 21st, year 2009, their excommunication has been lifted. And that proves to me what the strong suspicion that at least the leader, which is Bishop Bernard Fallet, is a Freemason. I really believe he is. I'm not saying they all are. And I don't believe Bishop Richard Williamson is. And we're going to talk about that later. But you need to at least have the superior be a Freemason. And we have a lot of proof that Lefebvre was a Freemason. The guy that consecrated him, a bishop, was a Freemason. And it was the same guy who ordained him a priest, Leinhardt, Achille Leinhardt, who was an acknowledged Freemason. This all makes sense because what they're doing right now is something they've been planning to do down the road. It's finally when the time is right to pull the net in and bring all these rotten fish into full communion on the Vatican II boat. They're already being dragged along behind it anyway. We've always said this. But let me just stay to the main crime that we concentrate on when people say, why, Richard, do you say the Society of St. Pius X is a heretical sect? Because their founder was a salvation heretic. He taught it to his bishops and his priests, and he promulgated to the laymen in their catechisms that were taught in their local churches. Now I'm going to read some of Lefebvre's heresies. In 1973, from a lecture he gave in Paris in May, he said, God knows all souls, and for that reason knows that Protestant communions and Muslim communions and Buddhist communions and all humanity, there are souls of goodwill, and by that very fact, they do seek to do His holy will. They have implicit baptism of desire. There you go. That's the heretical opinion of baptism of desire, where somebody who doesn't even know about Christ or knows about Christ like the Muslims and says, I don't believe in Him, he's actually, Lefebvre is saying, could be baptized and really believes in Christ, even though he tells you he doesn't believe in Christ. Is this guy crazy? He'd be locked up in a nut house, really, by anybody with just common sense. Forget supernatural faith. This is against common sense, what this bastard is saying. And now we're going to read from a lecture that he gave in 1974. He says, those souls, whether Protestant, Buddhist, or Muslim, who have implicitly this sincere desire to do the will of God, may have the desire for baptism and so receive supernatural grace, the grace of eternal life, end quote. Again, our Lord says, nobody can be saved unless they have faith in Him. John 3:36, it says, whosoever confesses Jesus, the Son of God, shall have life everlasting. Whosoever does not confess the Son of God does not have life everlasting, but remaineth under the wrath of Almighty God. So how these guys not only are not confessing the Son of God, they're explicitly denying Him. Go up and ask a Muslim what he thinks about Jesus Christ. He's going to say he wasn't the Messiah. He wasn't God. Lefebvre says that very guy could believe in Jesus implicitly and be baptized in the state of grace whether he knows it or not. That's Lefebvre speaking. Now we read in 1976 from a sermon he preached at the first mass of one of his newly ordained priests in Geneva. He said, "No doubt the graces of God are distributed outside the Catholic Church, but those who are saved, even outside the Catholic Church, are saved by the Catholic Church, by our Lord Jesus Christ, even if they do not know it, even if they are not aware of it." End quote. Now that's a heresy even according to most of the salvation heretics, because they will never say their salvation outside the church. They always put these guys in the church somehow. They're in the church and they don't know, so that's even a double heresy. He's even offending some of your worst salvation heretics by what he said here. Alright? And we'll go on to what he said in 1986 in his open letter to confused Catholics. Chapter 10 on Ecumenism, page 73 to 74. Outside the Catholic Church, there is no salvation. Does that mean that no Protestant, no Muslim, no Buddhist or animist will be saved? No. It would be a second error to think that. The doctrine of the Church also recognizes implicit baptism of desire. This consists in doing the will of God. God knows all men, and he knows that amongst Protestants, Muslims, Buddhists, and in the whole of humanity, there are men of goodwill. They receive the grace of baptism without knowing it, but in an effective way. In this way, they become part of the Church, end quote. Here's your heresy again. What do the Bull Cantate Domini will say? 1400s, no Jew, no heretic, no Muslim, no schismatic can have a share to life eternal unless before he dies, he comes into the bosom of the Catholic Church and dies in that bosom. Jesus said that the sheep know him and they hear his voice in the Good Shepherd verses of John 10. My sheep know me. My sheep hear my voice. My sheep follow me. You tell me how that Muslim's following Christ when he's in direct opposition to Christ. There's the number one crime of the heretical society, St. Pius X, and it's not just heresy, it's apostasy. Because he's telling you that people like Muslims who don't even believe in the Holy Trinity, don't even believe in the divinity of Jesus Christ can be saved, and actually believe in the very Christ they deny. This man on the natural plane, with somebody of good reason, good, just common sense and reason, can rebuke him and say, "You're a hypocrite, you're a liar, who are you? Who are you? What are you preaching? Are you a Freemason? Or are you just one of these liberal, useful idiots who wants to see all mankind come into the be saved without believing in Jesus when our Lord said very few people are saved?" There's the number one crime of this bastard, apostate Archbishop Lefebvre. This guy was never a Catholic, because I firmly believe this guy obviously held this heresy from when he was a child. If he didn't, we know he held it here. And the main point is, this is the heresy he taught to his bishops and the Society of St. Pius X and to his priests. And this is the heresy he teaches to all the members of the SSP10 and all their churches in the catechisms that he teaches them. One of them is the so-called Pius X Catechism, which has that heresy in it. Therefore, that's the main reason the Society of St. Pius X is a non-Catholic sect. And that's why everybody who attends those churches is outside the Catholic Church and on the broad road to hell. Now, their communion with the Vatican II churches is just a consequence of, this is one consequence of it. Now, I'm going to go into some of their other sins. That's the main one. We don't need to go no further, but I will go a little bit further. And I will tell you some more of their other mortal sins. They're mortally guilty for not condemning heresy for heresy and for not denouncing heretics as heretics. They always call the heresies in the Vatican, Second Vatican Council, errors or deviations or contrary to the faith, but they never say it's a heresy. And they never condemn John Paul II for being a heretic, for teaching that Muslims believe in the one true God, which is not only heresy but apostasy. They never condemn John Paul II and the Vatican II Church for saying the Old Covenant is still in effect. They never condemn the Vatican II Church and John Paul II saying for that the apostate Jews are our elder brothers and that they're under a covenant with God. Never! They will say it's erroneous, it's very bad, it's very wrong, but they don't call it what it is, which is heresy and apostasy. Therefore, they are equally guilty of the crimes of the heresies they don't condemn and the heretics they do not denounce. That makes them mortally guilty by sins of omission and by sins of association and by being a partner in a crime. Those are mortal sins. And everybody in the SSP10 that goes around and you say, "What do you think JPU2 did when he kissed the crayon? Was that only an error, or was that an act of idolatry and blasphemy for trying to pretend he believed in the true God and he's kissing the crayon? Was that an act of apostasy by him, an idolatry?" They would say, "No, I think it was just an error." There you go. Therefore, they are guilty of that same sin of idolatry and of apostasy. And if they even came out and said it like that would even place them in a notorious heresy. Really, that's another one of their actual notorious heresies for not denouncing it. So here they are going along using all kinds of words to replace the H words. They don't use the H words. The SSP 10 never does. Mm-hmm. And when you don't call a heresy, you're guilty of the same crime that you're not condemning. Now, if you can get to talk to a guy like that and speak to him, you can get him on notorious heresy. If they came out and said kissing the Quran is not an act of idolatry, then he's an idolater. That's notorious. You see, if they just kept their mouth shut and didn't answer your question, you wouldn't know what he believes. Mm-hmm. He just says, well, it's an error. Well, he never said, what kind of an error? See, you got to pull their teeth on that one. It's not hard. Just sit down and talk to the guy. Mm-hmm. What that one SSP 10 priest told me, he tried to lie about that. He says, I agree that if anybody says the Old Covenant is still in effect, that's apostasy. Mm-hmm. Well, what about JP 2? He says the Old Covenant is still in effect. It's coming closer. And he goes, no, you're not reading that right. It means the Ten Commandments. He lied. You see, he's not holding that heresy, but he's guilty of it by sins of omission, by association, and being a partner in the crime, because he didn't call it what it was, you see? Mm-hmm. You can read my debates on all of that. So this Society of St. Pius X has always been a heretical apostate sect, and because their founder was an apostate and heretic for denying the salvation dogma, and they aren't even honest about these particular crimes in the Second Vatican Council, because if they really were, they would have came out and said what they are. They could not have stayed in communion with these people. They would have had to denounce them. But the worst part about this whole thing is, we're going to read now what I said, what we always told these people. The SSP 10 has always been in communion with the Vatican II Church because they pray in communion with these people, and now they're really now full board on the Vatican II Church. And the reason that really brought this communion was their number. Now, they're going to still tell you, we're still concerned about some faith issues in the Second Vatican Council, but they weren't important enough for them. Mm-hmm. To prevent communion. They're seeking communion with Satan. They want full communion with Satan, who's denying massive dogmas. Their main concern is the Mass. Yeah. It really is their main concern. Because not until the rat man, Benedict XVI, allowed the Tridentine Mass to be said, did they then consider to want to be in communion with the Vatican II Church. Mm-hmm. That was their main issue. They still complain that we still got some problems with your faith issues. But what are those problems? Just errors? Or are they denials of massive dogmas? What comes first? How could you consider even being in communion with these people? You've got to be out of your mind. Give us the Mass first, and then we'll iron out these secondary faith issues. I always said it, and I'll say it again. All these traditionalist bastard so-called Catholics have put the Mass before the faith. The faith doesn't even really come on the radar screen. It really doesn't. If you love God and you see the crimes the Vatican II Church are committing and you don't raise your voice up on high and denounce John Paul II and the Rat Man and Paul VI and John the 23rd as apostate bastards for denying dogmas, then you do not love God. You are a nominal Catholic, which means Catholic in name only. Our Lord said in Mark 7:6, these people honor me with thy lips, and their hearts are far from me, and in vain do they worship me, teaching the doctrines and precepts of men. He said in Titus 1:16, they profess that they know God, but in their works they deny him, being abominable and credulous, and every good work reprobate, never, ever denouncing the crimes against God for what they are. So where does God fit on their radar screen? Nowhere. All right, we're going to read in Psalm 77, verse 36 to 37, and they loved him with their mouth, and with their tongues they lied unto him. But their heart was not right with him, nor were they counted faithful in the covenant. That's an example of an occult heretic, or a nominal Catholic who's a notorious heretic, who says, I'm Catholic, I go to Mass on Sunday, I go to confession, I believe in the papacy, yet he holds on to heresies like Lefebvre held on to. Or he doesn't condemn heretics for what they are. That's what our Lord's saying. There's many people that call themselves Catholic are not truly Catholic. This was applied to the Jews even back then. That's the Society of St. Pius X and all their apostate founders. Anyway, the net has been, they were in the net all this time, being dragged along in the Vatican II Church, and now the net has been pulled on board January 21st, year 2009, when the excommunication of these four bishops was lifted. All right? And of course, the Mass was their main issue. They haven't resolved any faith issues whatsoever. They say, we're going to talk about that later now. You see what I mean? How could you even want to be in communion with this group? But anyway, some interesting things happened. Our Lord God has a way of putting a snag on all of these people anyway. We're going to put up the decree on the film, and you can read it. I'm not going to read it here. But what happened was the excommunication was lifted on the 21st, and it wasn't made public until January 24th, year 2009. Okay? Now, but in the midst of all these things, we have some very interesting events that took place. There's one bishop in the Society of St. Pius X who has some hope. He's still a chicken. He's still a heretic. but he has some hope. Bishop Richard Williamson happens to be one of the bishops that gives them a lot of trouble. And every time he says something correct, they silence him. He was opposing this communion with the Vatican II Church when he was in the United States, and I think they sent him to Argentina, and they shut him up. Well, he's been saying a few more truthful things, and now they're shutting him up again. And that dope keeps staying in that society. I'm really going to direct this to Bishop Williamson. Wake up. You seem to be like Joseph of Arimathea. And who was the other one? Nicodemus. That are afraid to speak up for fear of the society that you may be kicked out. If you don't rise up, you're going to go to hell. You don't belong with these guys. They're liars. People even tell us that Bishop Richard Williamson holds the salvation dogma privately, but he can't publicly teach it because he'd be kicked out of the society. So he's choosing human respect over the respect of God. Williamson is creating and committing grievous sins. But I still see hope for the guy because he still speaks up. What I'm telling him is to stop giving blind obedience to that bastard Fillet and that bastard Lefebvre. You don't belong in there. And if you die there, you're going to go to hell for sins of omission, for sins of being associated with these criminals and being partners in their crime. Just recently, he came out and he said some very truthful things. It wasn't recently. It was quite a while ago. And he came out and he said that the Holocaust was a hoax. There were no gas chambers. It turns out he said this quite some time ago. They knew what he believed in. The Jews also know what the SSP 10 believes in. One thing they do is they do go against the Jews. That's one of the things they do. The SSP 10 attacks the Jews. So the Jews have them on their anti-Semitism list. Now, they were just waiting for this excommunication to be lifted. If it was going to be lifted, to jump all over this event that took place quite some time ago. Well, it turns out, like, November 8th, year 2008, Bishop Richard Williamson was interviewed by Swedish television in Germany. And during that interview, the Swedish guy that was interviewing asked him about his opinions on the Holocaust denial, that he denied it. And Williamson admitted, he said, there were no gas chambers. We're going to go to the clip and let you listen to that in a second. But what happened was, he said there too, he said, I did say that in Canada. Because he brought it, didn't you in Canada say that the Holocaust never happened, or there were no gas chambers? And he admitted it.
Bishop Williamson, are these your words? There was not one Jew killed by the gas chambers. It was all lies, lies, lies. Are these your words?
You're quoting from Canada, I believe, yes, of many years ago. I believe that the historical evidence is hugely against 6 million Jews having been deliberately gassed in gas chambers as a deliberate policy of Adolf Hitler.
But you say not one Jew was killed
in gas chambers.
So there was no gas chambers.
I believe there were no gas chambers. Yes.
Bishop Richard Williamson even says 9/11 was demoed. It was done by the government, and he's very truthful about that too. So here's this guy showing some goodwill, right? But the Holocaust thing, the Jews knew about this long ago. But they weren't going to spring it on them until this communion with the Vatican II Church was going to take place. And what you're going to find out was the excommunication was lifted on January 21st, year 2009, and right that same day, right after it, the Swedish television program broadcasted it on TV, because when they gave it that interview on November 8th, 2008, they didn't broadcast it. No one knew about it. It was kept in their archives. They were holding it. I always tell the people this is a little bit of stuff the Jew holds back, and then when the Freemason goes against them, the Freemasonic Society St. Pius X, and their Freemasonic Vatican II Church, and when the Freemasons buck, the Jew comes out with the ammo and discredits them. They did that to Bill Clinton with the Monica Lewinsky case. When he came out and wouldn't meet Benjamin Netanyahu in the airport, and he shunned the Jews, and then he spread this Monica Lewinsky thing over all the papers. They knew he did this. Yeah. That's no secret. They knew Williamson believed in this. They were waiting for the right moment to use it. Same thing with George Bush Sr. when he won't go to war in Iraq. They almost impeached him. So what's happening here? The Vatican II Church is now under the gun. This is also proving to you that the Vatican II Church is a Freemasonic entity that is under the power of the Jews, because the Jews are threatening the Vatican now. You've got to see what's happening. And this is going to cause them to get even angrier and eventually destroy the harlot, this spiritual harlot, the Vatican. They're going to come in and they're going to destroy it. This event is leading to what I've been speaking about. It's the Jews going to say, these Freemasonic Vatican II people are getting a mind of their own. They're bucking us. We're scheduling for their defeat. This is all the beginning of what's happening. Now, you got to realize, these Jews had this evidence even when he was in Canada, let alone on November 8th, year 2008. But they didn't make it public. Even the Swedish television thing did not make this public until right after the excommunication was lifted on January 21st. Maybe a few hours later, they then broadcasted it. And they made it public. Then you're going to find out, now we're talking about something else diabolical going on here, because that announcement was private. The excommunication was not made public until January 24th. So somebody inside the Vatican sprung the news right away, and within 3-4 hours later, Swedish TV's got the interview broadcast on their TV, showing Williamson denying the Holocaust. 3-4 hours later. Now, mind you, not the whole world doesn't even know about it until 3 days later on the 24th. And guess who else knows about it before the 24th? Abraham Foxman, the Foxman of the ADL. On the 23rd, we're going to read about that in here. I have it right here. It says, on January 23rd, the day before the decree was made public, Abraham Foxman, president of the Anti-Defamation League, wrote to Cardinal Walter Kasper in order to express his opposition to an eventual ecclesiastical reintegration of Bishop Williamson. When the excommunication of the four SSB 10 priests was lifted nonetheless. All right? So Abe Foxman is saying, don't do it. Undo it. Don't publicly broadcast it. Undo what you just did a couple days ago. Williamson, I want him out because he spoke against us. All right? Williamson spoke against our sacred dogma of the Holocaust and denied it. All right? So Foxman is doing this before it's made public to any of us. The Jews have the inside track. They rule the Vatican. They're even barking orders at the Vatican now, telling them, you better do this and you better do that. All right, I'm going to go over the sequence of events and we're going to comment some more on this. All right? Then on January 24th, year 2009, that's when the public announcement of the excommunication was made public by the Vatican to the world. Then what happened was on the 27th, because the Jews were now telling the Vatican that if you don't get rid of him, that's the end of our relations with you. All right? And they said, we want to have you apologize. Well, on the 27th of January, Bishop Foy apologized for the remarks of Bishop Richard Williamson. And he said that we don't believe like he believes. He was only speaking on political matters. He has no authority in such an area to speak on these things. And when he speaks, it's only his opinion. He only can speak on faith and morals. We distance ourselves from his beliefs. So Bernard Fillet, that Freemasonic bastard, says he believes the Holocaust really took place. In fact, instead of listening to one of his bishops and looking at all the evidence, he took the sides of the Jew. And he silenced Bishop Richard Williamson and said, I will silence him until future notice. He will not allow to be speaking out in public. So what do we got? He's appeasing the apostate Jews who deny Christ. And he's silencing one of his own bishops who deny the Holocaust. What takes priority in Fillet's mind? The Holocaust. The denial of the Holocaust. He thinks that this is only a political thing. It has no ramifications. It's a big, giant lie. Richard Williamson said a good thing. He said, if truth means truth, then this, they're lying. He says, you people are being lied to in 9/11 and the Holocaust. It's a big lie. Does Fillet think lying is okay? Does he think politicians, when they lie, they get away with it because it's political? That makes it even all the more worse. What kind of man of God is this? If I went in and told him I lied about my mother or my father, I lied to the priest in confession or something, it's a grievous sin just to lie about anything. So he's saying these Jews can lie about the Holocaust, bribe the whole world, and lock you up if you deny the Holocaust, but they're running around denying Christ and blaspheming all over the TV, and Fillet says that's just fine. He bowed down and kissed the foot of the Jew, the apostate Jew. And he silenced Williamson for speaking the truth. I tell you, look at the evidence. And if you don't see it's true after that, I want nothing to do with you. You don't even need to look at the evidence. You can see what the Jews are doing with this Holocaust memorial thing. It has everything to do with the faith too. Because you're using it to replace the passion of Christ as the number one crime of all humanity. This Bishop Fillet is a Freemasonic bastard. If I had control of him, he's given 1 month to repent. I'm going to still hang him up and kill him and burn him at the stake. And I'm telling Bishop Richard Williamson, you better get away from these bastard lying bums. I heard you say on 9/11 that a lie is a lie is a lie, and you are right. And these are big lies that are holding mankind hostage and holding people under captivity, these Jews. The biggest lies are saying that the Jews are our eldest brothers in the faith, that the old covenant is still in effect. that they're under a covenant with Jesus Christ and God. Now you didn't even believe in Jesus. Now you're going to watch what the rat man said to make cover up on this. They said to the rat man, how dare you let him come in here? So now he's got to do damage control, the rat man, because he idolizes the Jews. So the rat man comes up, and here's what he says. The Vatican newspaper La Osservatore Romana reaffirmed that Pope Benedict XVI deplored all forms of anti-Semitism and that all Roman Catholics must do the same. Cardinal Angelo Bonasco, head of the Italian Bishop Conference and Archbishop of Genoa, marked Holocaust Memorial Day by denouncing Bishop Williamson's views, which he said are unfounded and unjustified. Wow! Another whoppa-loser lie from Jews who told the biggest lie of all time. Folks, what was that lie? When they denied that Jesus Christ rose from the dead, and they paid the guards to lie about it, and they're lying about it out down till today, and they lie about all the good things the Catholic Church did, and you're kissing the feet of these bastards! All right, and look, what the rat man says, who may be a Talmudic Jew himself, this faggot, homosexual, weirdo, freak, apostate. Look what he says on January 28th. Pope Benedict went on to express his solidarity with the Jewish people. He's talking, folks, about apostate Talmudic Jews who hate the true Christ. He said, while I renew with affection the expression of my full and unquestionable solidarity with our Jewish brothers. Brothers, our Lord said, and St. Paul says in Galatians 3:26, you are all brothers, children of God, by faith in Christ Jesus. He says in Romans 9:8, not those who are the children of the flesh are the children of God, but those who are the children of the promise are counted for the seed. Only Catholics are brothers and sons of God, adopted by their faith in the true Catholic Christ. He's calling these apostate Jews his brothers again. And Fillet kisses down, and he's bowing down to these people. And he silences one of his own bishops who's going against these lying people. Where is this Fillet coming from? Who is this man? Who are you, Mr. Fillet? Bishop Fillet, you're a Freemason or you're a useful idiot liberal like there's no tomorrow. And I can't believe somebody could be that bad. But I've seen things happen that'll make your head spin when people deny God. Because he wants to be in full communion with this harlot. Alright, and so he had to come out and say, I hope the memory of the Shoah will induce humanity to reflect on the unpredictable power of hate when it conquers the heart of man. And he talks about anti-Semitism. Now you're going to see when you listen to this clip a very good thing. He didn't say strong enough though even. I'm going to tell Bishop Richard Williamson he needs to be with us so he can start breathing fire. Right now he's a wimp himself. He's not strong enough, although he has got some strength. I'm really going to make this video mostly for him and people like him to convert them. At the end, when the guy accused him of anti-Semitism, he didn't really say it the way he should. He made a truthful statement about it. I'll mention it to you, but he didn't say it the way he should. All right? He came out and said this.
I don't know if you know...
This is not anti-Semitism. What is anti-Semitism?
Anti-Semitism... If anti-Semitism is bad, it's... against truth. If something is true, it's not bad. I'm not interested in the word anti-Semitism. I mean, you know, it's the word is very
dangerous.
The
bishop calls you anti-Semitic.
The bishop can call me. He can call me a dinosaur. He can call me an idiot. He can call me what he likes. This is not a question of name calling. This is a question of historical truth. Historical truth goes by evidence and not by emotion.
Now, the truth of what he's saying here, he came out and said, what does anti-Semitism have to do with truths or lies? I'm saying that there was no gas chambers and there was no gassings during World War II of Jews. How does truth, either it's true or it's false, how does it equate to anti-Semitism? But what he did not say was this. Are you accusing me of anti-Semitism because I go, certain Jews are evil liars? That's what he should have said. Well, what do you mean? Well, is that why you're calling me an anti-Semite? Are you telling me that anybody who criticizes a Jew or anything the Jews do is anti-Semitism? Put it back in the interviewer's mouth and say, I'm not a racist. I don't hate Jews because of their race. I don't even hate apostate Jews. I love them. I want them to convert. It has nothing to do with race. It has to do with the fact that certain Jews, and many of them, are very evil. Are you telling me, sir, that there's never been an evil Jew in the whole world? What about Judges 4:1, where it says, and the Jews again did evil in the sight of the Lord? And then Moses killed 23,000 Jews at the bottom of Mount Sinai. Was he an anti-Semite? He didn't answer it right. He didn't say, this has got nothing to do with racial issues. This has to do with certain Jews who are evil, who've lied to mankind, and are propagating their lies, and are robbing and stealing and cheating to people. Now, is that what you... That's what he should have really said. And he didn't say it the right way. He didn't say it forceful enough. He didn't come out and say, anti-Semitism is if I hate the Jewish race. I never said that. I hate what these Jews did. They're evil, and they lie. That's the real answer he should have gave. He didn't give that answer, but he did come out and give an acceptable answer by saying, I'm just telling you the truth. What does that have got to do with anti-Semitism? You know, are you telling me every Jew in the history of the human race is good? I always tell your brothers, that's how you handle this issue. You just ask them, are you telling me every Jew is good? Well, I'm a Jew, so when they start cursing me, I'm going to call them an anti-Semite. Well, but it doesn't apply to me because I'm a Catholic Jew. Well, don't apply to me, because they really don't probably, they say he's not even worthy of being called a Jew anymore because he's a Catholic, you know? So what's going on here? It's not racial. He didn't answer it the right way. And my point is, though, although he did give an acceptable answer by saying, it's gotten, if what I'm saying is the truth, why are you bringing anti-Semite? Because right away the guy said you're an anti-Semite. Yeah. All right? Now, this happened with Benedict the Rat Man. He apologized on the 28th. Now, on the 28th, too, of January, the chief rabbinate of Israel broke off official ties with the Vatican because of this. And they were going to have one of their little, in a way, it's a positive thing in a sense, because they were going to have one of their ecumenical get-togethers, where the bishops are going to sit around with these rabbis and talk about how they believe in the same God, and how they're all worshiping under a covenant with God, and how they're all looking forward to a glorious day when the Messiah comes and all this, without speaking about their major differences, which is what everything's all about. Well, these rabbis in Israel said they're breaking off official ties until they get... Williamson himself comes out and apologizes, or they even get rid of him, because they don't even want the SSB 10 now officially part of the Vatican II Church. Now, you understand, this is part of the Freemasonic Vatican II Church bucking. The Freemasonic Society of St. Pius X that's run by Philippe bucking the Jews a little bit. And the Jews are now going back and saying, you have to stop. This is going to cause the Jew to move up his schedule and eventually slate the Vatican for destruction. It's really going to move up the time schedule, what you see happening here. All right? Now, obviously, Philippe told Bishop Richard Williamson, first let me tell you what Philippe said. Let's read his quote. And that guy deserves to be flayed. Filet deserves to be flayed. I'd flay him and pour vinegar on him. I would. Oh, hell's much worse than that if you think I'm cool. You ain't seen not yet what's awaiting this guy. Now let's read Filet's apology first to the poor Jews. Let's watch Bishop Filet bow down to the idol of the apostate Jews in their Holocaust memorial. Let's watch him bow down to Christ deniers. While he doesn't defend his bishop who denied the Holocaust. You see, what's the greater crime going on here? Denying Christ isn't no crime at all anymore. Deny the Holocaust, you go to jail. Even Williamson said when he was being interviewed, because that interview originally took place in Germany, he says, yeah, I understand, I can be arrested for this. Because this is a crime in Germany. We'll get into that later. Now let me read what Philippe said. The Vatican released a statement from Bishop Philippe, superior of the priestly fraternity of St. Pius X, and one of the four traditional bishops whose excommunication was rescinded and a January 21st decree from the Congregation for Bishops. In his statement, Bishop Filet said, it is clear that a Catholic bishop cannot speak with ecclesiastical authority except on questions that regard faith and morals. And even then he can. He's not infallible even on faith or morals. So what's the issue? Okay? Our fraternity does not claim any authority in any other matters. In other words, he said, we don't talk about political things. That's a 501(c) curse. Where they will not talk about political events and evildoers are doing evil in politics. We stay out. That's like a denial that Christ has a temporal dominion. Christ's kingship in a temporal realm. He's saying in here, we stay out of political matters. How could the church stay out of political matters? It's her job to tell a voice throughout the whole world of all evil. Not just evils of the soul, but explicit evils being conducted by true tyrants and true evil people that are running the political world and let their people know, watch out, your government's lying to you. Watch out for Jaime the Jew, he's lying to you. Philippe says, we don't do that kind of stuff. I grew up with this before Vatican II. These guys are your pre-Vatican II heretics that never tell you anything from the pulpit of any reality about what's going on in the world. He goes on to say, its mission is the propagation and restoration of authentic Catholic doctrine expressed in the dogmas of the faith. It's for this reason that we are known, accepted, and respected in the entire world, respected by a bunch of reprobates. And they're respected not for that. You know why they're respected? Because they have a holy sacrifice at the Mass. That's why they're respected. They don't preach doctrine for nothing. And they have no missions, and don't try to convert anybody. Now, he goes on to say, it's with great sadness that we recognize the extent in which the violation of this mandate has done damage to our mission. The affirmation of Bishop Williamson do not reflect in any sense the position of the fraternity. There he is. He's saying, we accept the Holocaust. We accept everything the Jews told us about it. It's true. I don't believe like he believes. There he goes. Taking the side of the Christ-denying Jews. And don't tell me he didn't look at the evidence. That's one of his bishops. It's his responsibility if he has any charity for his own brothers, his own apostate brothers. See how there's no goodness amongst evildoers. He would have looked at the evidence at least and called him in and said, hey, wow! No! He's doing what he has to do, right? So he can be right with who? The Vatican II Church and the rat man and all the Jews! Can't you people see what's going on with these bastards in the Society of St. Pius X? Then he goes on to say, for this reason, I have prohibited him, pending new orders, from talking any public positions on political or historical questions. We ask the forgiveness. See, there he goes. That's a 501(c) curse. We will not get up in the pulpit and tell you what's going on in the real world. If we're talking about sins that are committed against God, they have a real application. Some ghost isn't just committing them up from hell. It's real people with flesh and blood. Political leaders that are leading the world down the road to hell by teaching political lies, by pushing their false ideologies, by pushing their false religions, and by carrying it out throughout the whole world. He says, we got nothing to do with that. And I know they don't. I grew up with priests like that. You would think they were living on another planet if you can put them on another planet. You'd say, did this priest know what happened this week in the town where I live? You don't say nothing from the pulpit. So he doesn't think that these Jews lying to the world and dominating with all these big lies and robberies and treacheries and blasphemies on TV against Jesus Christ mean anything to him. Nothing to him. How could you separate that from faith and dogmas? He does. Then he goes on to say this bastard fillet. We ask the forgiveness of the Supreme Pontiff and all people of goodwill for the dramatic consequences of this act. What was dramatic about it? Why was it dramatic? The Jews got on the horn and said, we're going to ax you. We're going to cut our support. We're going to pillory you. We're going to bring prosecutions in Germany against you and close down your own Germany. We're going to get onto that in a minute. Because we recognize how ill-advised these declarations were. We can only look with sadness at the way in which they have directly struck our fraternity, discrediting its mission. This is something we cannot accept, and we declare that we will continue to preach Catholic doctrine and to administer the sacraments of the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. How dare you even mention that word Catholic, you bastard. You're the furthest thing from Catholic. And what is he worried about? One of their main orders is in Germany. And in Germany, when you deny the Holocaust, you're up for prosecution, they can sue you and throw you in jail. We're going to go to Bishop Williamson and listen to what he says on the tape in regards to that, because he knows that.
It's been a huge exploitation. Germany has paid out billions and billions of Deutschmarks and now euros because the Germans have a guilt complex about their having gassed 6 million Jews. But I don't think 6 million Jews were gassed. Now, but be careful, I beg of you, this is against the law in Germany. If there was a German, somebody that's a German state, you could have me thrown into prison before I leave Germany. I hope that's not your intention.
Now, Bishop Williamson is saying, I know that if there was a German policeman in this room right now when the Swedish interview was taking place, I could be arrested. Not only that, even when he leaves Germany, because it's now public knowledge, he could be prosecuted now. And they could try to extradite him to Germany and put him in jail like they did with David Irving when he finally went back. Same thing happened to David Irving. Mm-hmm. He went over to Germany, wants to give a speech against the Holocaust, and they called him before he left the country and locked him up. Mm-hmm. But they can even put an order out that as soon as he comes back to Germany, we're going to get him and put up extradition papers to get him back in Germany. But they can do more than that. They can sue the Society of St. Pius X in Germany and close down all their orders and bring him to civil court. Fillet knows that. He's worried of losing his temporal kingdom, his few buildings. He sold it out for 30 pieces of silver. You want to say more than that? Add up how much all your buildings cost. That's how you sold our Lord short. You coward, chicken, lack of martyrdom. Our Lord hasn't even asked you. You hadn't even been asked to shed your blood. Because even if he shed his blood for Christ, it would be for his false Christ. Because he doesn't believe in the true Christ. Here's a guy that is afraid of losing his buildings. He's afraid of losing his power. He's afraid, and it will happen. And I pray that God lets it happen. That these Jews then do sue him. Take down this whole order. I'll tell you something. It will be a blessing in disguise. Because either they're going to sue you now, punish you now, and if it doesn't happen now, they're going to just destroy you when the Antichrist comes to power. These guys, and almost every valid priest in the world, is slated for destruction. I told you that before in my last speech. And you deserve every bit you get. You put your faith in a Jew, he's all yours. That's who you're serving. Don't ever expect the Catholic God to help you, the complete opposite. God himself has turned you over to the Jew. God himself is letting the Jew and the Antichrist kill you. It's by decree of the Catholic God. He wants nothing to do with cowards like you. You filthy, stinking, rotten coward. And it's fortunate you're not in front of me right now. It is fortunate you're not in front of me right now. And that's why I tell you I'm over here in New Mexico. Because if I get in a room with these people, all hell's going to break. I'm going to knock the hell out of them. Because they're full of hell. They're full of demons. And I say they're worse than the Jews because he says he's Catholic. And he denies our Lord Jesus Christ. See how the SSP 10 does not care about the faith. It's only the Mass. It almost makes me believe that's why this guy is a Freemason too. I'm telling the people that are in here and all you priests that belong to that order, get out now while you have time. Get out now and don't look back. Now let's go on with what we're talking about here. That was his apology. All right, now, all this is taking place on the 28th. The chief rabbinate of Israel breaks off official relations with the Vatican. The rat man comes out and tells the Jews how much he loves them and they're God's children and they're all brothers and so forth, right? Then on 1/28/09, the McNeil Lerner News Report broadcasted it through the major, it's a major news network, and I think I heard it was on BBC also. And it was called The Pope and the Holocaust Story, and it was a major, they gave it about 15 minutes on McNeil Lerner News Hour on January 28th, year 2009. I got the transcript, you can even go there and look at it. Now the Jews went out and they're promulgating, like the Monica Lewinsky thing. Let's start sending it out. You knew we did this. But only when the Vatican lifted the excommunications did they then slam the hammer down. It shows you the power of the Jew worldwide. How he had the inside information. How the thing was then broadcasted 3 hours after that. How a couple days later it's broadcasted through all the world. How can you do that if you don't control the world? How can you do that if you don't control all the press organs in the world? How can you get a guy, all these guys to bow down and shake their boots by a few statements from a couple of Jews unless they control the world? How can all these things happen? Right? And then, sad to say, on January 30th, year 2009, even Bishop Richard Williamson makes some type of a statement. But he didn't withdraw his position, but here's what he says, and he expresses regret for what he said, and he said it wasn't prudent, that he was imprudent. It was imprudent what he said. Now you got to listen to what this guy even said on the 9/11 thing, which he said perfectly. He said, these people are lying to you. And our Lord Jesus Christ said in John 8:32, the truth shall set you free. And he said, everybody who's not of the truth and is enslaved by the lie. He said, this is a big issue, this 9/11. Your own government is lying to you. Your own government is doing the work of Satan. And you guys are blindly following these Americanist heretics. All right? It is a big issue. He said, he repeated, he said, they lie. Now he's saying it's imprudent. It's imprudent to tell the truth. It's imprudent to tell people that they've been lied to in a massive way. That these people that are lying are also blaspheming Christ. That's imprudent. That's imprudent. That's imprudent. He's worried himself now about being axed from the Society of St. Pius so he doesn't get martyred. And what kind of a martyrdom is he looking at? They're going to silence him. They're going to kick him out of the society. I spit all over you, society. Stop giving it the blind obedience and false respect of this harlot. And get out now. I'll tell you, I don't know how much longer God's going to give you people grace to get out. If you don't listen and you heard what I said right now and you don't do it next week, you may be under the sin against the Holy Ghost and you're never going to get out. But now let's read his apology. It's not an apology, though, by the way. It wasn't an apology. And he didn't renege what he said. But so there's still hope for this guy. You know, we got to pray for Williamson. You know, we really do. I'm not saying I'm holier than people can sin. Aaron was forgiven when he even worshipped to the idol. Williamson could be forgiven. But I'm telling you, to be forgiven, you got to come out from a harlot. You got to make an abjuration and listen to what I am telling you right here and no one else. The truth is not being preached by anyone else in the whole world. This is the only place where the Catholic Church is. Now, look what he goes on and says. He says, He says, amidst this tremendous media storm stirred up by imprudent remarks of mine on Swedish television, I beg of you to accept only as a properly respectful my sincere regrets for having caused to yourself and to the Holy Father so much unnecessary distress and problems. See, he denied what he said. At least he didn't go that far. But my question, what distress and what problems? Think about it. What problems? Who's running the Vatican? Are the Jews running the Vatican? Are the Jews paying your paycheck? They are. Why else? What's the distress? What's the problem? A couple of Jews get angry? Tough. These Jews are out there barking out orders, telling a rat man what to do, and he does it. Jump through the hoop and he jumps. Jump backwards through the hoop and he comes backwards through the hoop. Come on, you stupid idiot. If they only knew what these Jews think about these people, what distress? What problems? Because the whole world's been lied to and you're just going to propagate that lie? Either what Williamson said is true, and if it is, it's a real giant issue. It ain't small. That this Holocaust thing replaced the Passion of Christ as a number one crime and got them all kinds of money and bribed people with this false claim of anti-Semitism? So here he is now. And if he submits to the silence, woe to him. And I hope this tape gets out to him so he can listen to what I'm telling him. Evidently, too, it says that before this all happened, this interview, in October of 2008, he met with David Irving in Windsor, England. And he was talking with David Irving. David Irving, who knows about all this, and then he came out and he's saying, it's a phony. Can't you see what's happening, folks? When people start getting locked up for denying the Holocaust, but they get exalted and promoted for denying Christ, they could put things on TV like the mystery of Christmas, that Jesus was, I don't want to say it, that Jesus was a bastard, and that Mary was, I don't want to say the word. It was on TV! And you don't think there's nothing wrong with that? And you're bowing down to these people that are pushing them, the Da Vinci Code. I'll tell you something, if time was right now, then I'd breathe fire on you and have you all burned. That's how righteously angry I am. And don't you people tell me you care one bit about the Catholic faith. You don't! You're frauds! You're like the pre-Vatican II so-called Catholics that go to Mass on Sunday and confession on Saturday and think everything is fine. And you're a bunch of phonies. You're worse than even the Jews. Don't call yourself Catholic, because you're not. You're giving the Catholic God and the Catholic Church and the Catholic religion a bad name. And I'm here restoring that name. And you're going to see the power of the Catholic God soon. And that's my prayer. That he destroys you people so he can free the world up and let them see what true Catholicism is all about. And I'm warning Bishop Winsome and all you people, get out now before it's too late. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. This recording was produced by Mary's Little Remnant, 302 East Joffrey Street, Truth or Consequences, New Mexico, 87901-2878, and can be accessed on my website at www.johnthebaptist.us.